As we bring in Elliot Friedman from 32 Thoughts and Hockey Night in Canada, Elliot's in Vancouver for one main reason, and that is Canucks for Kids Fun Telethon. For information, go to canucks.com/telethon. Up for grabs, a 2022 Toyota Corolla Cross LEAWD. The funds raised for this one support Canucks Autism Network, Canucks Place Children's Hospice, and BC Children's Hospital Foundation. Elliot in Vancouver for a great cause, and he joins me now from 32 Thoughts and Hockey Night in Canada. How's Vancouver, Friedge?
It's nice. The weather's nice. I went walking along the seawall here yesterday in a t-shirt. Yeah, it was really good. Not enough days like that recently.
No, I hear you. It's one of my favorite places in the country. I love BC. My sister's on the island, so I try to get there as often as I can. Big Stanley Park guy. I've never done the grouse grind, though, and I've always wanted to. Have you ever tried it?
Yeah. No, but that is something I'm going to try. Like, I don't think I'm going to get up there in like 3 minutes like the Sedins did, but that is, you know... But it is something that's on my list. I know Murph has done it. I'm sure he's not the only Sportsnet personality who's done it, but that is something I have to do. I'm not expecting a record-setting time for me on that one, but I would like to do it.
You got to go for it while you're there. A couple of things.
I won't have the opportunity to do that today. Yeah.
You are busy, and this is a huge game tonight. Vancouver Canucks facing off against the Vegas Golden Knights. You can watch this one starting at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific on Sportsnet Pacific. The Knights are eyeing third in the Pacific as the Los Angeles Kings, and we'll get to Drew Doughty here in a couple of seconds, are starting to soften.
Yeah.
The Canucks win will bring them to 82 points, and it looks like Mark Stone, even though Peter DeBoer said will be a game-time decision, generally when coaches say that, that's code for he's playing. What do you make of this one tonight, the return of Mark Stone for the Vegas Golden Knights?
Yeah, it sounds like it's certainly possible. He was on his regular spot with Pacioretty and Stevenson at practice yesterday. I was out seeing Gary Lawless last night, but... ran into him, but he wasn't tipping his hand. The Vegas insider wasn't saying anything, but I think it sounds like we are expecting that there's a good chance that Stone's going to play.
I want to get more into Vegas.
And you're right. It's a huge game, Jeff. There's no question about it. And, you know, like if you're sitting here and you're watching this and you're LA or you're Dallas, you know, you're thinking just somebody win it. No 3-point games.
Yeah, that's disaster for everybody around them. And Dallas takes on Tampa tonight. That's another great one. Nashville faces off against the San Jose Sharks. This is a great evening of hockey. Like, flat out, from the opening face-off of the Blues and the Bruins, you know, the Ducks and the Panthers, there's 3 7 o'clock games, Flyers and Caps, right to the very end with Vancouver and Las Vegas, New Jersey and Arizona.
Owen Power debut.
Like, and listen, Carolina and the Rangers, like, up for grabs top spot. Right now, Carolina has a tiebreak. They cannot win at MSG. I was just mentioning, going back to 2011, the record is 18-1 for the Rangers against the Carolina Hurricanes at MSG. But back to this one quickly. What's the market doing there right now with the Vancouver Canucks? Technically, they can still do it. We always talk about help and math and these types of things. What's the mood in Vancouver around their team right now?
You know, I was talking to a few people yesterday who were going to the game. I just kind of walked into some people while I was doing my little hike around the seawall here. And the one thing, I think the thing is, and it really stood out to me, was how many were talking about just how nice it is to be at big games again. Because, you know, obviously last year there were no fans in any of these games. And there was a time this year when there were I think Vancouver cut down to 50%. I don't know if they were fanless, but just the idea of whether or not they make the playoffs. You know, I ran into some people who are going to the game tonight, and they were just talking about how meaningful it is to be at a big game. And, you know, they hadn't had enough of those in the last few years, just in general, but also, you know, up here, especially when, you know, you couldn't go to games or the capacity was diminished, you didn't get that atmosphere. And I think that you know, one thing I think we all kind of have remembered, Jeff, is how meaningful it is to be in the rink in a big game. And the people I ran into who were going tonight were just talking about how exciting it was to be part of that. Like a game that's this late in the season that really matters, and you get to be in there with the other members of your hockey community, I guess. And that was the thing that, you know, really stood out. Like, I think they all recognize how big the challenge here and that the math isn't necessarily their friend, but it's more just the ability to go to a game that really matters and be part of it. And that's what stood out to me yesterday when I was here.
We've talked a lot about what Vancouver did in the off season. What's that?
What are you eating?
Nothing. I was just having a drink of my water. I thought you were going to opine a little bit longer on. I could fit in a sip of water while you while you blathered on about Vancouver. I was wrong. Eating on the show is your gig, not mine, bud. That's your right. gimmick. I don't want to infringe on that. So that's one big game later on this evening. I want to ask you about some of the news coming out of yesterday. And you mentioned Los Angeles a second ago. And, you know, you mentioned on the podcast, you know, when's Drew Doughty going to show up in a full leg cast and still try to play? And then yesterday it was announced he'd undergone successful wrist surgery and his season is done. Now, I know 7 of the last 8 for LA are against non-playoff teams. Mm-hmm. These are all proud athletes, but we've talked about the injuries piling up and you don't want to make an excuse, but it is a reason. There's another cliche, but man, it is not looking good for LA hanging on to that third spot in the Pacific.
It was funny. I had a couple of people text me yesterday when that news came down saying, look, you said that what's the chances of Doughty showing up out of nowhere here? And then the same day, the Kings announced that he's not going to play this year. Like, they were laughing at whether it was or was not a coincidence. But it's too bad for Doughty. It's too bad for the Kings. I think the other thing there too, Jeff, is that it's not like he's the only defenseman who's injured. Like, they've got – like, that's the killer. Yeah. Yeah, that's the killer here. It's not just Doughty, and losing Doughty would be enough, but there's other players, as you mentioned, Anderson, and some other guys who've been hurt too. So, you know, I think that's the big concern here is what exactly is the status of the entire Kings blue line as we come down the stretch? Like, how many of these guys are going to be okay and will come back to play? I mean, obviously, it's a huge loss. He was having a great season. He really, you know, the thing that I really like about Doughty is that he talked big in the off season last year. He backed it up, right? Like he said, it's enough. We got to start winning. And LA went out, they got Deneau. You know, some of their players had really good years and Doughty was a big part of that. He kept up his end of the bargain. And if you're going to talk, you have to deliver. And he delivered. And that's the real shame about it. You know, obviously it's concerning for them. But, you know, the one thing about it, and Rudy talked about it on the weekend, there comes to a time where you have to trust your structure. And it's harder to trust it when your best players aren't there or, you know, when you lose an amount of people that puts you at risk. But in the situation when times are hardest, that's when you have to stick to your plan the most. And, you know, other players are going to have to step up and deliver. One man's injury is another man's opportunity, but you have to trust what you've been doing all year. And that's the only answer for the Kings here.
You know, that is, listen, you mentioned Mikey Anderson and that pair with Doughty before Anderson got hurt. Like, we've talked a lot about, you know, the best combinations in the NHL and, you know, Devontaeves and Cale Makar comes to mind right away. We think of Anderson and Hanifin. In Calgary, we'll think of Uyghur and Ekblad in Florida right now, even though Lindholm is injured, Lindholm and Charlie McAvoy with the Boston Bruins. But Anderson and Doughty were right there. Like, we're right there as far as, like, top pairs consistently night in and night out. To your point about Doughty talked it and then backed it up, him and Anderson to start the season were fantastic for months until Anderson got injured. Malkin gets four games for the cross check on Mark Borowiecki in the game against Nashville on the weekend. We looked at this and wondered about two games, not unlike what Austin Matthews got for cross checking mm-hmm. Rasmus Dahlin. In the explanation, the Department of Player Safety noting that there is a quote unquote relevant history, which can always yeah. bump the number up, suspended mm-hmm. once and fined three times. Is that the difference between the two levels of punishment here, one for Matthews and one for Malkin?
I think so. Like, I watched the video too, Jeff, and I got that distinct impression. Like, I'd forgotten that Malkin had been suspended before. And, you know, he has a real edge to him. I know I've seen him. Yeah, I've got no problem with it. I've seen him in the playoffs before do things that are like, wow. You know, like, I just remember one in a Philly-Pittsburgh series a few years ago. He delivered a check that was one of the meanest checks I think I'd ever seen. And, you know, I got no problem with that. He, as a superstar player, he takes a lot. So, you know, you can dish it out just as long as you don't cross the line. I don't think there's anything unfair about that suspension. I'd forgotten about his previous history. And for that reason, you get the multiplier. Now, the way they try to do these things is they say, look, we decide if it's a penalty first or a suspension first. And then if you've got the history, we take that into account. So I don't think anybody can be too surprised here. I mean, Pittsburgh mm-hmm. is very fortunate. They're in a playoff spot, because if you got for playing in a lot of other teams, if you got four games with eight to go in the season, you were in a race. Oof. That's a big one. I remember Shane Doan in a playoff race a few years ago getting three games for the Coyotes when the league owned them. And I remember the Coyotes were like saying at the time, if the league didn't own us, they would have gone softer on us. But, you know, if you get those at this time of the year, those are big deals.
You know, before you came on, I was running down a couple of clinching scenarios. You mentioned the Penguins. If they beat the Islanders in regulation tonight, it's done, and the Penguins clinch a spot. The Bruins against the St. Louis Blues tonight, if they win in any fashion and the Penguins beat the Islanders in any fashion, like, there's a number of, like, it's that time of year where if this yeah. and that can, you know, Tampa mm-hmm. has a scenario as well. Let me ask you about the Boston Bruins, because we haven't talked a ton about them recently. And listen, it's challenging. David Pastrnak out with the core injury. Hampus Lindholm with the lower body injury. They're playing against the St. Louis Blues tonight. We've talked a lot about the Blues recently. Robert Thomas's name keeps coming up there once again. They're one of the hottest teams in the NHL. The Bruins can clinch if they beat St. Louis in any fashion, and the Pens beat the Islanders in any fashion. Or if they get a point and Pittsburgh beats the Islanders in regulation. A long-winded way of me asking, where is Elliot Friedman at with the Bruins right now?
Before I get to that, did I read that Torrey Krug was coming back today?
I did not see that. Let me check.
Because that, like, I thought I had noticed it this morning, that that's a big deal if Krug's coming back, because I know there was some real worry about that injury, about that it could be a long time. I thought I saw this morning that Berube was asked where Krug was going to play. So that's actually a big deal.
Well, and he's coming back against Boston too.
Yes, but I had heard that there was a worry that was a pretty potentially a significant injury. So that's, I know how much you love the Blues, because you're the king of the Robert Thomas fan club. So I'm really happy for you, Jeff, that Torrey Krug is healthy. You know, the one thing about the Bruins right now is they're really banged up. Eh? There's a lot of guys not skating. And yep. So that's the number one thing you always wonder is how healthy they are. I like them a lot. You know, they're a team like Edmonton in the sense to me, Jeff, is are they going to have one goalie in the playoffs, or are they going to rotate?
You know, I think both these teams have that dilemma.
Yeah.
I think St. Louis has that dilemma. And I think Boston has that dilemma. And there's only one. There's only one goaltender out of the four that has any playoff experience, and that's Jordan Binnington. It's not Ville Husso. It's not Jeremy mm-hmm. Swayman. It's not Linus Ullmark. There's one guy that's done it, and he's done the ultimate. And he may be the ultimate guy on the outside right now.
Yep, and Edmonton too. So I'm curious about that for Boston. You know, the other thing is we were talking yesterday about the Hart Trophy and how wide open it is. I had someone reach out to me and say that Charlie McAvoy is going to get shafted in Norris Trophy voting. And I love McAvoy. I'm a big McAvoy fan. I have. Mm-hmm. But they said to me that they feel that this year he's going to get absolutely railroaded and he should be the winner. And, you know, I said, you know, my point is it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough with where Yossi's going here not to vote for him. And, you know, they gave me some really interesting information and underlying data that bolstered McAvoy's case. Look, you don't have to convince me that Charlie McAvoy is one of the best defensemen in the league. You really don't have to do that. It's going to be interesting to see, though. It's going to be tough to beat. I really think it's going to be tough to beat Yossi this year if he's in around 100 points.
The thing about McAvoy, and I ran down the list of, you know, Anderson and Doughty and Hanifin with Anderson and Uyghur and Ekblad. If you look at pairs, like I love looking at pairs and the underlying numbers and what happens when they're on the ice. To start the season, the combination of Charlie McAvoy and Matt Grizzlick, elite. And now since trade deadline, the combination of Hampus Lindholm and Charlie McAvoy, elite. What's the common denominator there? Charlie McAvoy. Like he's
the kingmaker.
To your point, he's fantastic. And yeah, you know, we've talked about this before. The Boston Bruins as an organization, going back to Eddie Shore, have generally always been blessed with at least one elite level blue liner, whether it's Bobby Orr or Brad Park or Ray Bourque or Zdeno Chara, now Charlie McAvoy. Like, it's been an embarrassment of riches on the blue line for the history of the Boston Bruins. It really has. I still think Gord Kluzak, if they had, you know, the medicine that we have now, back then, when Gord Kluzak had the knee injuries, not unlike Bobby Orr too, that we might be talking about Gord Kluzak amongst that bunch too.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. Eddie Shore, I think a slap shot whenever you bring up Eddie Shore.
You know what was great about Eddie Shore? I love this story. So Eddie Shore, who at the time when he played with the Bruins was the ultimate villain around the NHL. And Eddie Shore loved it. He loved getting booed. He loved that other teams and their fan bases hated him. And every now and then, Friege, during warm-up, he would skate around with a black cape on as the ultimate villain in warm-up, Friege. Who skates around with a cape on? Eddie Shore did. How do you like that story?
YouTube or TV, you should host it wearing a cape.
I'm in, man. I always wanted to do like an old-timey either TV or YouTube series. I would totally be into wearing a fedora as a tribute and a black.
No, you have to wear a cape,
Eddie Shore. I'm happy to wear a cape.
You are the Eddie Shore. You are the Eddie Shore of podcasters.
And then I have to get a top hat, and I have to get white gloves, and pull rabbits out of a hat, and have a little magician's wand as well, and make my career disappear. How about that, Friege? Is that a good magician trick for me?
You're halfway there already.
Yeah, no kidding. Keep talking, Merrick. You'll talk yourself out of a job. Just like I tried to educate myself out of a job at university, taking English and philosophy. So there's the Bruins. You mentioned Dallas a couple of seconds ago. They're facing off against Tampa tonight. We talked about, you know, plenty about who this team is. And I'll be honest with you, I have no clue who's going to show up tonight. I have no idea which Dallas team. I could see Dallas showing up and just beating the barn doors off the Tampa Bay Lightning. Or I could see Tampa coming in and just stomping all over the Dallas Stars. I have no clue. I have zero clue what to expect from Dallas.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it.
Other than I know the first line will perform. After that, jump ball.
I think that is a great way to put it. That was such a wild game against Chicago the other night.
Oh.
Just they put two in their own net and then they righted themselves. That was a huge victory. This is a game that I would be watching tonight if I wasn't here on site in Vancouver. I think it's such a great game on paper. You were talking about clinching scenarios. I think Tampa has a clinching scenario tonight too, don't they?
They do. So if they beat Dallas in any fashion or get 1 point from Dallas and Pittsburgh beats the Islanders in any fashion, or if just the Penguins beat the Islanders in regulation, it's over and Tampa clinches. So there's a couple of different routes here.
So, and the other thing, too, is Gurianov was a healthy scratch the other night, right? So I'm always interested to see if he gets back in. Like, it's something I always watch is how does a talented player do in the first game after a healthy scratch. First of all, does he get the opportunity to go back in the lineup tonight because they did win? And number two, if he does, you know, how does it all work out? So that's another storyline I'm going to be following tonight. I mean, you're right, Jeff. There's a lot of great games tonight, no question about it. And, you know, I assume you saw the report, too, from Elliot Tiefert in Anaheim that the Ducks are picking up Dallas Eakins' option.
Yeah, I was going to get to that one next year. You know, I look at that a couple of different ways. I look at it like, well, the team was, you know, starting to decline a little bit before the trade deadline, and then deadline just wiped out the squad and the morale. And I also looked at it and said, you know, is this a case of Pat Verbeek just trying to feel out what this relationship with Dallas Eakins is going to be like, and this is the safe way to do it? We're just going to pick up the option, and we're going to see what happens next season. How do you look at it?
Well, I think that, well, first of all, I think there's a lot of Yzerman and Verbeek, and you know, obviously they worked together for a long time. And they, if from what I can sense here, and I'm going to start calling, you know, Verbeek Yzerman light, because I think that there's a lot of similar philosophy. You know, he's not a very vocal guy. He doesn't talk a lot. I think he keeps a lot of his own counsel. You know, I think he's very confident in his decisions, but I think he keeps his own counsel a lot. There's not going to be a lot of, you know, shared philosophy out here or what he's thinking, but like it says to me that it's very clear now from what's happened that when Pat Verbeek went into Anaheim and interviewed for the job, that both he and the organization shared a philosophy that it was time to reset there, that it was time to go in a new direction, and it was time to try some new things. So they made all their trades. And but, you know, the one thing about Yzerman is that he's kept the same coach through it. And there have been a number of times where Yzerman has said that, you know, whatever's going on here, it's not the fault of the coaches. And at the very least, what Verbeek is showing is a similar kind of philosophy there. And you know, if you take a look at it, like, it's been a tumultuous time in Anaheim over the last couple of years. I thought, you know, this year they came out of the gate really hot. Gibson was hot. The team was hot. And I think it masked a lot of what they really were. And then the team basically gave up. And, you know, it's very hard to play and push forward in those situations. I think Eakins has done a good job there, you know, considering a lot of the circumstances around him. And, you know, I think that Verbeek, like Yzerman, they just seem to have this mentality that we're not going to change the coach just because people think that our record dictates you change the coach. It's deeper than that. There's more to it than that. And it can't all be put at the end. I think that's what, I don't even know if it's so much like he's feeling his way out with Eakins, although that certainly could be true, Jeff. I just think if he there's a lot of similarity between him and Yzerman. And if you look at Yzerman's roots, it's kind of said like, coach here is doing a better job than the record indicates. And I think that that's true in Anaheim, too.
You know, I think Anaheim's at the spot now. Look, Lindholm is gone. Raquel is gone. We'll see about John Gibson. Ryan Getzlaff is retiring. I mean, this is just evaluate the team now based on how the kids are doing. Mason McTavish comes in next season as well. Like, I think this is strictly, you know, how are the kids doing? That's how you evaluate everybody here. And listen, Bob Murray, like you saw what Bob Murray did, or rather didn't do in the offseason last year with the Anaheim Ducks. I mean, Bob Murray essentially told this team, you know, buckle up, everybody. It's two more years of pain. Like that was a program that was laid out here, and that's why he didn't make any moves other than behind the bench and to bring in a couple of new assistants to work with Dallas Eakins. But
well, also what he didn't do last year was he didn't trade Drysdale and Zegras for Jack Eichel.
Correct. Now, but wasn't there an issue though about Anaheim and artificial disc replacement?
I do think Anaheim was one of the teams that was worried about that. Yes, I think that's very true. But I also think, you know, we've talked about this now before, and it has been supported, not disputed, that, you know, if Buffalo and Anaheim were going to do a deal, it was going to be the ask was going to be Drysdale, Zegras, and two firsts. And Anaheim wasn't doing that.
Yeah. I wonder if Jacob Chychrun's still an option there in Anaheim now that they've lost Lindholm. Now, that would be expensive. That would be expensive going back the other way. But I wonder if you look at, you know, what their schedule is and when they want to, quote unquote, win again. I still wonder if Jacob Chychrun's still an option there with the Ducks. Anyhow,
Makes sense.
It'll be a wonderful night tonight. Great game. We're all looking forward to the Vancouver Canucks and the Vegas Golden Knights, and also the Canucks for Kids Fun Telethon. More information, Canucks.com/telethon. Funds raised supporting Canucks Autism Network, Canucks Place Children's Hospice, and the BC Children's Hospital Foundation. Great job being part of it. Frege, we'll talk to you in a couple of days.
All right, buddy. Speak to you later on.